I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Peace and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. Tonight, we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about how the World Health Organization has redefined burnout as a syndrome. Yes, we're going to talk about, are you suffering from burnout at work? Also, Dollar Tree, they plan to sell alcohol at their family dollar stores. You buying it? You buying their cheap alcohol? Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to have a new segment talking about For the Culture, For the Future. We're going to have one of our young listeners, Zoe, to talk about all the great things she's doing. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture here on WEAA. Do this for my culture. Welcome to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me on this Friday afternoon. But, Dre Day, I think you know what better way to say it. What day is it, Dre?
Hello, Friday. I've been waiting for you for a long time. You just saved me when my life came crumbling down. And I know you're gonna leave me. Hello, Friday. I've been waiting for you for a long time.
3, 2.
Just got paid. Jeez. I done had a hard week. Now it's time to celebrate.
Woo! Yeah! Yeah! Man, trust me. Let me just tell you. All day today, we're going to have some fun. I'm going to have some fun tonight, folks. It is Friday. Let me see. What else can we celebrate? The fact that the Toronto Raptors won the first game of the NBA. I'm not celebrating that garbage. I'm not celebrating that. GSW all the way, baby. They gonna get it in. Never underestimate. They never underestimate. Drake, I'm so sorry, sir. I'm so sorry. You could talk that trash from the sidelines, but I'm so sorry. You're not gonna get it in. I'm so sorry. Say goodbye to that championship ring. Big shout out to Drake and the Toronto Raptors. last night's game was kind of crazy. That was a little crazy. Anyway, folks, we got a lot to get into. I want to share some things. I got a surprise for you, too. Yeah, because it is Friday. Plus, I'm going to talk to one of our young listeners later on in the show. Yeah, I am so excited about talking to this young sister. Sister Zoe. Little Sister Zoe. Because she's doing some amazing things in Baltimore, and we're gonna kick off a new segment on tonight's show where we talk about that for the culture, it's for the future. How about that? For the culture is for the future. That's right, folks. We all about making sure that the next generation is highlighted and all the great things they're doing is going to be on the forefront. So looking forward to that. But I'm going to kick it off tonight, folks. I'm going to talk about work. I know that it is 5:09, about to turn 5:10 in T-minus 12 seconds. And many of you are leaving work. You don't want to be around work. You may have this certain type of feeling about work. And why is that? Why is it the cultural norm that we must hate our job? That's the cultural norm. So I want to talk about work a little bit because there was a new redefinition of what happens to us when we put all of our effort into work. You know the term burnout? Yeah. Well, the World Health Organization has been bringing attention to this problem of what they call work-related stress. And so this week, it's updating its definition of burnout in the new version of its Handbook of Diseases. That's right, folks. The International Classification of Diseases, the ICD-11. That's like your new tennis shoe or something. Like, yo, I got that new ICD-11, son, which will go into effect in January of 2022. So the new definition that the World Health Organization calls it a syndrome. Yes. And specifically ties burnout to chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. Do you like this definition? Do you like this definition? Alex, do you like this definition that WHO has come up with? Chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed? Yeah, I like that. Can you get burnout in a relationship? Oh, Lord, this is Friday, Dre. We gonna take it there. Can you get burnout dealing with your children? Yes! Oh my gosh, yes. Can you imagine telling your spouse, like, baby, I'm not here. Guys, we tell our wives, babe, I'm not here today. Take it a personal day, baby. I got burnout. I got a syndrome. Yeah, okay. You will have a syndrome if you don't cut that grass, bruh. Now, there were some early reports to the contrary, and the World Health Organization does not classify the problem as a medical condition. It calls burnout a quote-unquote occupational phenomenon, and it includes it in a chapter on, quote, factors including health status or contact with health services. Now, according to the World Health Organization, or WHO, burnout is characterized by feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion, increased mental distance from one's job. I've been there before. Or feelings of negativity or cynicism related to one's job. And here's the big one, reduced professional efficiency. I'm sorry. This is kind of personal. I'm so sorry. So sorry. It's kind of personal because it speaks to my soul of what I have experienced in my many years of working. Yeah. Burnout was also included in the previous version of WHO's disease handbook. Those are the ICD-10. In the same category as it now appears, but it was simply defined as a state of vital exhaustion. Now, the earlier definition, according to WHO, according to one sociologist, says that it was kind of this weird in-between, you're not really sick, but you're not fully capable of doing work type of definition. Now, the new definition is now more detailed, and while it's not a major change, it gives people who suffer burnout more legitimacy. According to one sociologist, he says, people who feel burnout are finally fully recognized as having a severe issue. The new definition may be a step toward making it easier for people to get help, at least in some European countries where health professionals rely on the ICD. One professor of medical social scientists at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine says that this definition brings more clarity to the definition of burnout. That bringing more clarity to the definition of burnout is important, and that there needs to be greater critical discussion on how we can more precisely measure and define this condition. Ms. Elaine Chung also said that she welcomes the WHO's new definition because it might raise awareness of the problem of burnout, not only among healthcare workers, but also individuals and employers. She says, I think a lot of people have a lay definition of what burnout may be, but I think by highlighting the specific facets of burnout, my hope is that it might create greater awareness. Now, the new WHO definition also requires that to diagnose burnout, mental health professionals have to rule out anxiety, mood disorders, and other stress-related disorders. Ms. Elaine Chung thinks that that's important, she says, because burnout is different from depression in that it is tied specifically to our work and our relationship with our work. She says that understanding this distinction could lead to more targeted research into how to prevent and treat the problem. This is interesting. You know, Alex Blanc, he always pulls up some very interesting things for us to talk about, folks. But this is very interesting, right? This is very interesting. I mean, because I think that a lot of times we have these conversations about stuff. And one, we don't know what it actually is, right? It's hard to define, hard to get some level of clarity about. But then, two, it's like once you define it and it becomes a satisfactory definition of a condition, of a situation, of a syndrome, it's now we start to feel like we can have power to overcome it. We can control it better. That's why I think this type of stuff is important. All right, I want to hear your thoughts on this. Burnout, included in the new International Classification of Diseases. Do you agree with this definition from the World Health Organization saying that burnout is essentially a syndrome and specifically ties burnout to chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed? Chronic, meaning it's ongoing. It's not just a temporary problem. It's a real serious issue. Do you agree with this? Give me a call and tell me if you've been experiencing burnout, if you've been experiencing burnout as well. 410-319-8888. If you have experienced burnout, I've experienced burnout. I've had some jobs, folks. My goodness, there isn't enough time on this show to talk about the burnout that I have felt at some places. But the other part of it is, it's not just chronic workplace stress, but just the fact that, you know, it's really about the impact that this stress will have on your thinking, on your body, I mean, on your attitude. I mean, that's deep, man. That's deep. All right, folks, give me a call. Let me know what your thoughts are about this. World Health Organization redefining burnout as a syndrome, as a real issue. It's not just something that you just like, get over it. Just take a day off. Like, no, I got a real issue, dog. I got burnout. And how many of you are planning to use this as a way to get out of work? Alex, you cannot use that, okay? I want you to know that. You cannot use that, Alex, as a way to get out of work. Like calling up there, what's your problem? I have burnout. I wonder how many employers are actually going to allow this to be a legitimate excuse. Will the human resources workforce policy change? Oh my goodness. Will this create a ripple effect? Will there be now trainings on how supervisors can work with their employees on managing burnout successfully? Oh my gosh. It's such a deep, deep conversation. And it's so legitimate. And it's so real. Look, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, Troy, Derek, Gene, and Monica all want to check in because they want to tell me how burnt out they are about whatever's going on in their life. And it's only reducing the work, folks. Don't tell me about your burnout, about your relationships. I really don't want to hear that. Tell that to your significant other, your spouse, somebody. Just don't tell me. Stay riding with us. Got a whole lot in this first hour of For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. We'll be right back. Peace, welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Folks, we've been talking about the World Health Organization redefining the whole condition burnout. Have you ever experienced burnout? Well, now they have officially announced that there is a new definition for this condition, which they classify it as a syndrome. A chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed, whereas before it was just seen as an occupational phenomenon. But now they have even added a little bit more meat to the bones of this understanding, saying that burnout is characterized by feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion, increased mental distance from one's job, or feelings of negativity or cynicism related to one's job, and reduce professional efficacy. I'm telling you, we can use the same definition for relationships, folks. Don't tell me that, though. I like it. You like it? You think that's an accurate definition of what people are experiencing when they go to work and they don't find that level of fulfillment? And can I ask you a question? I'm going to throw a wrench in the plan, Alex. I'm going to throw a wrench in the whole situation. Even if you love doing your job, can you experience burnout? Come on. Can I get a hand clap for that question? Can I get a hand clap? Is that possible? You love your job. You love the people at your job. You love the coffee at your job. You love that water cooler at your job. But you're burned out. You're just like, I can't wait to get home. You love the job, though. It's not even a job. It's a calling. You know how people say that now. Calling. Like, I have a calling now. Is your calling? Will your calling burn you out? Let's go in. Troy, Glen Burnie, what's your take on it, sir?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I don't like when anything is classified, as a syndrome or sickness. Because you know what comes with that?
What's that?
Drugs.
You said drugs?
Drugs. What's the first thing that this country does? It doesn't look at healing something. First of all, we don't heal anything here, do we?
It depends on who you go to.
If you look at it,
you mean as a country, as a culture, we don't have
as a culture.
Right.
A culture, we're basically drug addicts. But you have all these churches and all these faiths and all these beliefs, but they never look at anything from why don't you work with the spirit first and find out what the source of the issue is, instead of saying, okay, we're going to drug it.
Yeah.
We're just going to level it off. Because that's what drugs do. They don't heal you, right? They just level you off. Once you label something a syndrome, now it's a sickness. Okay, we got to drug it. And that's true.
That's true. I don't know if you have restless leg syndrome. I don't know what to...
No, because, even in marriage sometimes, I don't care how much you love I don't care how much you love that person.
Yeah.
You get tired of being around that person a while sometimes.
Don't do that, Troy.
People go on separate vacations,
no,
right?
Troy, don't do it, Troy. Don't bring up relationships in this, Troy. Don't do that. Don't you do that.
I'm being honest with you.
I know you are being honest.
So
right.
Don't ask me no questions.
Right. Hey, Troy, you know what? Yeah. I mean, that's what comes to my mind as well. That definitely comes to my mind. But I like the point. I think you actually do have a valid point. Unfortunately, because we are such big pharma, has such a major, it's such a major lobby in this country.
Right.
And we're talking about billions of dollars that we spend in pharmaceutical. You know what I mean? Big pharma. So somebody is going to create something.
I give you a perfect example.
Yeah.
Go to any billion-dollar company, multi-million-dollar company. What do you find there? High-paid, you know, VPs, right?
Right, right.
That's because whoever really runs the company is like, okay, well, I did all the hard work. You all going to do all the work now.
Right.
Because maybe he has that syndrome.
Well, here's the thing. And, Troy, I'm going to just say it like this. Even if Big Pharma decides to respond to this for profit or financial gain, I think there's still some validity that might be that we need to look at this syndrome to look into this definition because people do work. Mm-hmm. People do have this type of feeling or sentiment about their jobs. Go ahead, Troy.
Man, it's already in the works.
I know. Troy, checking in from Glen Burnie.
All right.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Let's go to Derek. Derek, what's your take on this? Burn out. You like this definition?
Well, hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm good, Derek. How are you?
I'm good. All right, so to me it sounds like what we in the Army back in the day when I was in the military called chronic fatigue syndrome.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Now, I'm a Desert Storm veteran.
Oh, fantastic.
The chronic fatigue syndrome is one of the medical conditions, byproduct, whatever you want to call it, of being in that part of the world, along with cardiac issues, skin rashes, blah, 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 blah. Okay, there's a whole bunch of them. And some of those, like chronic fatigue syndrome, falls under unexplained illnesses, meaning something jumps on you, you know, you're home, you're under the care. If you get out now, the VA they got you. They're running all these tests and everything, and they're trying to figure out why are you constantly tired, why is your skin breaking out, you know, why your eyes running, why your ears ringing, all of these things that happen to military veterans depending on what part of the world they were in during certain conflicts. And they haven't resolved that. So, I mean, you know, I wasn't diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, but I personally do know people who have it, and it's like you were saying, like from the job, you're burnt out, whatever you want to call it. We don't know whether, well, as far as I know, Department of Veterans Affairs does not know whether chronic fatigue syndrome, that's what I'm going to call it, they don't know whether it's stress-related or physical or I think it's a combination. I think it's a combination of everything because I remember in the desert, I mean, you're in a stressful environment, enemies right next door to you pretty much, depending on your situation, bombs exploding over your head, you in helicopters, aircraft, whatever you're doing. And it's really not a natural environment. You're not eating right. You're not getting mail like you normally do, or you're getting a letter from someone, and it's bad news. And you can't do nothing about it because you're on the other side of the world trying to protect yourself and do your mission.
So what did you, really quick though, Derek, what did you do? How did your colleagues or how did your peers handle it?
And when you're in that type of environment, you just deal with it, especially if you're in remote locations. Now, I was in a lot of remote locations, and you couldn't, like, just jump in a Humvee or a tank and just ride down to the hospital and say, hey, I feel this way.
Yeah.
Some things don't jump on you until after you come home.
It's See, that's the thing.
It's just like, what do they call, I can't think of that. The condition of, back in the day, we called it shell shock. Now they call it
post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yeah, you could be in situations. I've had some troops in my unit.
Yeah,
we were under attack for certain things. I've seen it happen.
Absolutely,
so they thought their life was over right there. So, yeah, it's real. Now, I heard what the other brother said before. You know, and he might be right. I don't know. I mean, but right now, you know, and I'm just speaking on the VA part because that's my experience with it. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in people's lives, and if I bring it back to the civilian side of the house, we're doing a lot more work, labor, whatever your job is. I don't care if you sit behind a computer, working on vehicles, digging ditches. You're doing a lot more with a lot less.
There it is. Hey, Doug, I got to let you go, but I appreciate you bringing that element into it, chronic fatigue syndrome, PTSD. I don't know. You know what? I think that might be something there, though. I think that if you had a very stressful work experience at some places, it can create some level of PTSD. I might be wrong about this. I might be wrong, but I feel like I'm always right about stuff. So I don't think I'm wrong. The fact is, I think you can have some level of PTSD. Some workplaces can scar you, can leave a real impression on you in a way that you didn't want that workplace to leave that impression on. Let's talk about it. Look, I got to take a quick pause. When we come back, we're going to get to more of your calls. I want you to also post your thoughts on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad, as well as WEAA, the voice of the community. Let's talk about this. The World Health Organization has redefined burnout. Do you like this definition? Does it accurately describe what you may have felt? And how do we get through it? Stay rotten with us. A whole lot is coming up in the second 30 of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We're talking about the World Health Organization has redefined burnout as a syndrome. And they now have said that burnout is a chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. And this will be in their new edition of their International Classification of Diseases Manual, the ICD-11, which will go into effect in January of 2022. I just want to get your take on if you think this is an accurate description of when you feel a certain type of way about your work. I'm going to throw in a couple of quick questions, then we're going to go back to the phone lines. You know, if you feel it this type of way, what did you do? How did you handle that, right? Did you quit your job? Or did you say, you know what, I need to learn how to deal with this. Let me talk to the source of my stress. It might be a supervisor, coworker. Did you create another routine? Did you add something to it? I'm going to throw it out there that even if you love your job, can you still experience burnout? If you love what you do as a profession, can you still experience burnout? Right? And burnout, it can permeate into other areas of a person's life. So, you know, do you see that? Has that ever happened to you? I want you to give me your burnout stories, man. That's all I want you to do. Tell me about your burnout stories. Share with us how you've dealt with burnout. I've dealt with burnout. I have definitely dealt with burnout. I remember, don't laugh at me, folks. I used to sell cars. I'm not going to tell you the dealership, but it was a major one. It was a big dealership. And, man, we would work like 50 to 60 hours a week. And I would say to myself, there's got to be another way. You know what I mean? Every weekend I'm working because Saturday was big day. So Saturday I'm there all day. And then also on those holidays. So if Christmas fell on a Monday or something, I'm at work. They were like, we'll have Thanksgiving dinner here at the dealership. And I'm like, oh, great. You must think I have no family and no friends. I mean, car dealing is not even... I don't know how it was. This was a few years ago. This wasn't like recent, but I remember, you know, you put in so many hours and things. And like the World Health Organization said, they characterize burnout as feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion, increased mental distance from your job, feeling of negativity or cynicism relating to your job. I experienced all that. If you came to me to try to buy a car, I would be like, man, you want this car or not? You okay? You want to take a drive? No problem. You enjoy it? It has a seat. has a steering wheel. Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm.
You got windows. You like those? You like those windows, right? You like that trunk? Do you want the car? I don't know. I can't afford it. Look, man. Look, we don't have me here all day. Do not have me here all day. I'm just asking. You know what's in your account. I don't know what's in your account. That's how I was. Burnout. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Monica. Monica, what's your take on this, man?
Oh, man. Good evening, brother, and good evening to everybody.
Good evening.
I got to tell you something. I believe that there's a lot of legitimacy with it, and the reason I say that, currently I am in law enforcement. Prior to law enforcement, worked as a mental health clinician with people who suffered with dual diagnosis, which is a combination of drug addiction and mental illness. And in working in that profession, according to the DSM-4 at that time, and this was like some years ago, we're way past four with the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, which is labeled with all of the diseases, all of the mental illnesses. It gives you something that's called a GAF, Global Assessment Functioning, and we could do all of these biopsychosocial tests to get this score to help interpret where this person was. And I worked in that field for about 12 years, and then I worked in the prisons as well up in Jessup.
Right.
And one of the things that I came in contact based off of the doctor who you spoke of first, who said you have to rule out bipolar and all of those other things. And then I'm listening to you, and I'm like, based off of my experience and working with the clients I had, it was kind of hard to kind of take one away and not the other, because one kind of manifested from one to another, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yep.
Bipolar, the major depression, the lack of appetite, unable to sleep, the insomnia.
Mm.
And for some, it was far severe than others. We also work with a lot of brothers and sisters that came home, you know, from doing tours in Afghanistan and things of that nature. When I got out of clinical social work and decided I am going to save the world.
Mm.
I'm going to be a police officer. I love people. God, this is my calling.
Yeah.
Brother, I'm going to tell you something. By the time I got to my seventh year, and at this time, I had the Western District as a detective for robbery. And I'm going to tell you something. By the time I got to my seventh year, I must have put on about 45 pounds.
Mm.
I probably slept about 4 to 5 hours a day, because by the time I got off, depending on the rotating shift we had as detectives, and when I was on call, I always had that strip of Rice's Town and Mondawmin that bordered with the Northwest and that 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that'll keep you up at night.
Oh, my God. What, brother?
West Baltimore. I know West Baltimore about to turn me off. They're like, what you saying? West Baltimore will keep you up at night.
I'm going to tell you something, brother. I would get those calls for the robberies because I was on call, and it was like it was nonstop. So when I was off,
yeah,
guess what? I couldn't turn it off.
So
I was still up without sleep.
That's a great point, Monica. Thank you so much for checking in, as always. Good to hear from my big sister. But that's an excellent point. You carry with it. You carry this home with you. You ever been at the workplace and, like Monica saying, like she can't sleep? It's like ingrained in you. Because it really doesn't take long for us as I don't think anyway, and I'm going to just say that way. I don't think it takes long for the body and, more importantly, the mind to embrace something. If it's new, you do it long enough, you do it for a few days. You know, there's an old saying that it only takes 21 days to start a new habit. Then it takes, you know, it doesn't take long for your mind and your body to fully accept something. And so if you're working at a place for years and years and years, and it's always on, what do you think is going to happen? You don't walk out the door of your job and be like, all right, guys, have a great weekend. It's Friday. And then your mind and your body and your spirit automatically changes over to, like, weekend mode. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. All right, Darrell, checking in from Baltimore, then Gene. 410-319-8888. Darrell, what's your take on this? Burnout. You like this definition?
I like the definition. But, okay, so burnout is a state of emotion, physical, and it's more or less a mental and stressed out thing, right?
it's
that
a, it's a,
lose
well,
everything.
Well, the way the World Health Organization classified it's a chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It's a syndrome.
Right. So they're just what the scientists and psychologists are doing. They're just putting a more professional spin on it. You know what I'm saying?
They got you now. Yeah.
So my situation was, I've been in the military for 17 years, and I went to Iraq twice.
Okay.
And what it is, of the stress that I endured over there, and then they're asking me, okay, do you want to go to Afghanistan next? They were asking for volunteers. I said, no, I can't do this no more. It stressed me out. My hair's falling out. My health has gone bad. And I'm going down to the VA on Green Street just about probably every other day while I'm still working on this new job I'm having now.
Okay.
So it's really putting a real stress on me. You know, I got PTSD. I'm just really messed up.
Wow.
And you know, when you have that much stress on you, first of all, for all your calls, you have to go get mental health. That's the first thing. You got to get yourself evaluated.
But you know what? I'm gonna throw this little monkey wrench out there. Suppose you either feel like getting help is a sign of weakness, like you got to get past that own personal demon.
It's not a sign of weakness.
Okay.
Because you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be overwhelmed. Stress is going to kill you alone.
Yeah.
That's number one. Stress is going to kill you. And if you don't seek some type of help, I mean, you're just going to have nothing but health problems.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this one job. I'm not going to be too long. I'm going to put this job on blast. It's in the past now. Broadway Services. I used to work for them for 5 years. I have a CDL license. They had stressed me out so much. I mean, I'm having a CDL license, but yet your pay and the things that you want me to do in transportation, you know, go here, go there, and won't get back until, like, I'm working, like, 12 to 13 hours a day. And that was stressing me out.
Yeah.
Then the boss, I have to deal with the boss, the main boss, and then I have to deal with the dispatcher, and they're telling me, oh, come on, can you do this, can you do that? We'll pay you overtime. And usually, sometimes, I never saw it in my face.
Yeah.
And it was frustrates me so much. And then, at times, when I did get hurt, oh, they'll give you your little bit.
Darrell? Did we lose Darrell? All right, Darrell. I was all in his story. I'm just taking notes. Darrell, if you want to give us a call back, we'll give you a couple of more seconds to finish just your thoughts. Okay. But I think what you were mentioning is something that I mean, you kind of touched on a couple of things. Another piece was the fact of, you know, a lot of times our workplaces will offer certain types of incentives to keep us going in a certain pace. And at some point, I was in Aldi's one day. Case in point, I was in Aldi's one day, and I heard the cashier at Aldi's say that he works like 15 hours a day. I was like, damn, like you work 50. And he's like, yeah, he was kind of like airing and venting to the customers how he was in there all the time and blah, 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 and they got this job. And he got a family. He's also mentioned he got a family. And I'm like, wow. And sometimes people send, let me just say this. Sometimes your workplace will try to incentivize you to work longer hours, longer days, and all of those things through extra pay. But I think I've grown and matured in my workplace experience and saying, you know what? I don't even need the money if it's going to take, if my house, excuse me, my health and my well-being is going to go to the ground. A couple extra dollars ain't going to do it for me. I need time. You know, when you grow up, at first it's all about the bag. You got to get the bag, got to get the money. But as you get older, you start to realize, it's about time. It's not about the bag. It's like, okay, the money is fine. How much time do I have? That's the level. That's what I think. Now, I might be wrong on that level of maturity, but that's the situation. All right, Gene, talk to me. What's your take on this?
I noticed one thing, and I'm a sufferer of PTSD also. I was in, long time ago, I was in the service.
Yeah.
And I saw, can you see, the damage a 500-pound bomb can do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, can imagine it, right? So I saw about 1,500-pound bombs explode simultaneously, and it affected me, so forth. So, so that's my story. But I also was an account executive, and I was juggling maybe 300 accounts at one time, So, my point is, the stress is the same.
Mm.
It's the same. So you hear these warriors, right? Guys been to Afghanistan, whatever, and they've been right next door seeing, bodies, et cetera. I don't want to go into details. I know kids are listening. And so they've seen that, but then they talk about they were driving a truck and their load was too big or whatever, but it's the state, that stress level was the same.
Yeah.
This is what we don't talk about. And I learned this, man, with my son when he was your son's age, 5 years old, and he told me that he was hearing voices.
Wow.
And I'm like, hearing voices. So I'm thinking the worst, the worst, right?
Right.
What explanation do I give him? Wow, I'm glad I took psychology because I learned about the ego. And the ego is what we have to deal with because the ego is the protector. The ego protects you, right? The ego is like Batman. You seen Batman? Two-Face?
Yep.
Jack Nicholson?
Yep.
Yeah, crazy as a beer bug, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That was his ego. And he went to the dark side with his ego, and that became his personality, right?
Yep.
So he was a psychopath. But your ego is a psychopath. The ego will protect you from all things. But we have to understand that what the ego does and what its purpose is, and once you do that, then you can deal with everything.
But the ego also needs to be controlled and managed.
Yes.
Because as much as it can protect you, it can also drive you into a circumstance that you didn't want to be in or you shouldn't be in.
But its job is to protect you because, let's say you're walking down a path and, rattlesnakes all around. The ego is the thing that keeps you looking for the rattlesnakes because they know what will happen if you run into a rattlesnake and you're not prepared.
That is.
So that's the mental state that the ego is. That's the purpose of the ego. I think once you understand the ego and not give in to the ego and it becomes your dominant personality, then you have a chance.
There it is. I like it, Gene. Thank you so much for checking in from Pikesville. Let's go to Terrence. What's your take on this, Terrence? Workplace stress, burnout, and the World Health Organization.
All that. Thanks for having me as always.
Yeah, bro.
I just wanted to say it is also a huge factor of what your work forces you to consume as well. Because I was in the news business, and unfortunately, good news isn't usually news. So once you get indoctrinated with bad news all day, every day, and that's your job, it really started to weigh on me personally.
Yeah.
And that's why I actually got out of, the news business, because I just couldn't, just hearing bad news and watching, police shootings and watching, all these things that's happening in the world constantly. Every day just kind of took a mental and actually a physical toll on me personally.
Yeah.
So, I actually had to get out of that business. And, once I got out of that, I actually started going to therapy to get, all that junk just out of my system.
There it is.
I think that these companies need to, have some kind of stress management within the workplace.
Well, And, Terrence, I'm glad you brought that up because that was my big thing. We're in a new age of workplace management, workplace supervision, workplace ethics and etiquette. And so, it's kind of hard to believe that there are some companies that, especially, I don't even care what job it is. I read an interesting article that found that cashiers, that's one of the most popular jobs in the state of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
But to be a cashier today, and it's a job that's actually going on the decline because of automation. But can you imagine being a cashier today in 2019, having to deal with all these different personalities, having to deal with money management, having to have customer service skills, and having to understand the inventory and all of these different things? I hope companies really are putting some effort into making sure that the health and well-being of their workers are the first priority.
Well, not even that. And think about this. You know, each time a cashier makes a mistake, it gets held over the head.
Exactly. And nobody needs that.
You can check out, 100 people a day.
Right.
And if your register comes up short, $5, you got to get chewed out by a supervisor or somebody like that.
There it is.
And I think, and I'm going to just make this point real quick. If people remember, maybe about a year and a half ago, Wells Fargo had this big issue where their employees were signing people up for accounts that they didn't want. And when they talked to the employees, a large part of that is because they knew if they didn't hit certain numbers, they would get fired.
Yeah.
So you had people opening accounts, in people's names just for the fear, the stress, the mental weight of possibly being fired if they didn't hit certain numbers. And you can't tell me that doesn't, weigh on people.
Right,
so
right.
I think, that companies got to do better in as far as, making people live, your bread and butter in certain numbers that people make up that they don't even do your job, which is, insane to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Terrence, always good to hear from you. Thank you so much for checking in, brother. Let's go to Lanier, then we got Cosette, and then we got Tony. Lanier, what's your take on this?
Hey, Faraji.
Hey, Lanier, how are you?
I'm lovely. I'm glad your cold is getting better.
Thank you so much. It's allergies.
It's tearing us apart.
Every fiber of my being, Lanier, is being crushed by pollen.
I hear. So, as far as burnout,
yeah.
I want to say burnout is very real.
I know it's real, yeah.
Some of us have jobs where they take work-life balance and make it a priority.
Yeah.
Some of us don't have jobs that allow us to do the proper self-care that we need in order to live this life, because that's what we're living, a life. We're spiritual beings in this life. And so I'd like to say that as far as the diagnosis, I agree with at least two of your callers. The first one who said that it points to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
There's no drug that can help burnout. You have to look at yourself and say, I'm burned out. And in order to do that, you got to look at yourself and say, okay, what can I do about this? And sometimes it just may be you need to get you some lavender and sit home and smell it.
Well, I've been told that, Lanier, all my life, that lavender is the answer to all of our problems as human beings.
Not all.
No, but that's how people do it. They'd be like, you know what? You just need to go home and do some aromatherapy.
Do some aromatherapy. Or maybe you need to cry. Or maybe you do need to take part in that EAP program that your job offers, therapy, because that is part of self-care as well.
That is
true. Or
maybe
you need to sit down and journal. Find out what it is that you need, because you do have to take care of the spirit. You have to take care of your physical, your spirit, and everything else that makes you able to live this life.
Now, Lanier, have you ever experienced burnout?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I have to sit home and I have to say, oh, I'm going to take this weekend. Or I have to look at my job and say, you know what? I'm leaving for today.
You just leave.
I have to go home and I have to actually chill and drink a glass of lemonade and just chill out.
Come on, Lanier. You know you're a grown woman. You ain't take no glass of lemonade. You had a glass of wine.
I might have a little something in it. But you know what I'm saying.
No doubt.
Yourself, and you have to really take care of yourself. And so I encourage people, whether you're Christian or whatever, you have to definitely look into some of those things, because everything here on this earth is here to help us preserve ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And we just have to tap into it.
That's what I like. Lanier, thank you so much. It's always good to talk to you.
Likewise.
Thank you so much for checking in. All right. We got this. Who's this? Cosette. Hi, Cosette.
Happy Friday. Thank you so much for having the dialogue today.
Happy Friday, Cosette. I hope this dialogue is in tune with what we're actually talking about.
Yes, sir. Excellent.
All right, Cosette, what's your take on this?
Okay, I just appreciate you and appreciate WHO for acknowledging burnout. And I don't want to spread all my business over the airwaves.
Please,
but
don't.
I experienced it really bad in 2017, and I had to say, what is more important? And I moved to the Bahamas for 2 years at an ashram. That's how bad it was. I need to say no more.
Mm.
But I think, I know a lot of the callers are talking about job employment burnout, but I would like to, if I may, speak to the hustle mentality, the legal hustler, of course. I was listening to, not that these are bad people or they don't mean any harm, but I was, you know, entrenched with Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, Tony Robinson. So I was pumping myself up. I had it so bad where every 2 hours I was waking up. Now, not to say that I, you know, didn't make, you know, list 10 houses a month or I wasn't successful, but at what cost? It took me 3 months to finally get 6 hours of sleep.
Jeez.
At one setting. Yes, exactly. I was literally waking up every 2 hours and I spoke. I thought I had depression. I even thought I had cancer because why am I so fatigued? Why am I not in beast mode all the time? And as the,
you said, why you not in beast
mode?
Like I'm asleep. Like it's 2 a.m. I should be ruling the day. I should be eating. It's like a bad granola commercial. Like I'm going to eat the day. Why am I not eating today? It's nighttime because that's why.
I did. That was my life for about, I guess, 7 years.
My goodness. So how did you, when did it all hit you? Like, you know what? What was that moment of clarity? And how did you start to really break out of that?
When please don't judge me, listeners, Baltimore. When I did not take a bath for like 2 days. I didn't brush my hair.
I'm still here. I'm just my face right now.
As females can attest, we have to like take 2-3 showers sometimes a day, but a bath, a simple bath. I did not brush my teeth.
Did you go outside the house?
No, I didn't, but I didn't answer the phone because, again, I thought I was depressed. I thought I was sick physically and, you know, I thought something was wrong. And what was wrong is I needed a life break. And if I may, we have to be okay with saying, you know what, I need a break, whether it's a 15-minute break, whether it was a 2-year break that I took. Yeah. It's okay, you know, and I traveled. I went to Bahamas, Canada, India, and I lived in ashrams. And, you know, I just came home, not even a year, but I'm such a, you know, it's okay. Like, I still listen to Gary Vaynerchuk and everything, but sometimes I'm like, no, I need a peaceful, you know, chanting day.
Nah,
you know,
I
don't have to be in beast mode every day.
You don't need to be in beast mode. Are you taking baths now?
Yes. Yes, I'm on my regular hygiene.
Oh, nice. Okay. That was the only thing I was concerned about the whole time. I was like, is she?
I'm sorry, but yes, that
What? I like that. I really like that. Life break. I absolutely do. I'm going to hashtag that right there. Life break. Hey, Cosette, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You know what, folks? I feel like we can deal with this. We can really deal with this. And it's okay. It's okay to take a life break. It's okay to say, you know what? I'm overwhelmed. It's okay. It's all right. We just need to find a way to get back to ourselves. Look, I got to take a quick pause. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. Did you know the Dollar Tree, the dollar stores are going to now be selling alcohol? Yeah, I'm going to get you prepared for that one. And at 6:30, I'm going to talk to one of our young listeners as we talk about For the Culture is for the future. She's going to be the first young person that we highlight on the show as we talk about all that's happening with little Zoe and all of the great things she's doing and why it's important for us to be supportive of the next generation. Stay rotten with me. A whole lot is coming up in the next hour. For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and W.